This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Apple Viz Extra. This is episode number 64. My name is Dave Nason and I am joined firstly in the co-host chair by Anonymous, Thomas Donville. How are you today, Thomas?
I'm doing pretty well, Dave. Thanks for having me on again.
You've been busy on the podcast front.
I have. I have been just pumping them out, haven't I?
Really, really good. Some cool how-tos and the Unleashed and lots going on. And yeah, here's another one for you tonight. So we are delighted to be joined by someone who'll be a familiar name to many of our listeners, I'm sure, from the site. From Woodside Apps, we have John Sturt. You'll know games such as Super Tile Smash, Wordfinder, and most recent quite big hit was Knight Commander. So, John, great to have you here.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So I mentioned some of the big games that you've had, and we'll probably come back to talk about them in a little detail. But firstly, like, you've been you're an app developer. How did you get into app development? Have you been doing it a long time, or kind of what's your background?
A long, 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 long time ago, I went to college and, well, uni, and got a degree in computing. Spent a little bit of time in the commercial world and then discovered that it really wasn't for me. Mm. But then I spent the rest of quite a few years trying to do anything but computers. And, I just did it, normal jobs, as I call them, postman, warehouse, anything. And then I got to the age of about 31 and I found out that I couldn't see properly.
Okay.
And that's when the glaucoma kicked in and blah, blah, blah. Ended up registered blind, so I kind of ended up doing this by default.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and I sort of got into it through Android to start with.
Yeah, well, nobody's perfect, John, but...
Well, no. Yeah, and I tried to get on there, and I almost gave up. And then I thought, well, I'll just give it, told Apple to go, and so far it's been all right.
Fantastic. And when did you kind of start? Were you trying to develop apps in the early days of, 10 years ago kind of thing, or was it more recent?
It's only been about, 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So you've been blind all that time, right? So you...
I've been blind since, about 20 years now.
Okay, so there's no visual.
Yeah, I'm sort of visually impaired. I've got no sight in my right eye. Mm-hmm. I've got about 10% in my left, and that's basically what I work on.
And so you started 4 or 5 years ago. What were you working on at that time? Were there just a lot of just trying to see what it was like, a lot of just little basic things for yourself?
Well, about that time, I bought my first smartphone, which was a Samsung S2 Android version thing. Mm. And I was shocked at the prices of apps for this, for blind people. Like, there was one that gave you this sort of front end of it, and then they were charging £60, and it was hopeless. And I thought, well, surely someone else can write something better, and no one did. So I thought, well, I might as well. And that's basically how it started, because there was nothing out there that I wanted to play or could buy. I thought, I'll write it, and that's basically it.
And were you relearning how to code at that point, or did you kind of have that?
Well, I've always known how to code, from the degree. I've always been a programmer. Once you learn one language, you can always convert it into another one and another one. It's just different languages, basically. That's all it is. I used to be in C++.
Okay.
I don't use that. Well, I now go in Objective-C and Java, because that's what these things run on, basically. So that's kind of what you use.
Hmm. And so what are the languages, or which one do you use now for when you come to app writing? I know there's like Swift, and I think there's...
Well, I don't go near Swift because it just looked a bit of a mess to me, I'm afraid. So I just use raw Objective-C. I just write in that. It takes an awful long time, and it takes a fair bit of time to get it through, but it's just what I do.
Wow. I will say I'm very impressed, because I also have a programming background as well, and I did some C work. I were to take a look at C now as a blind person, I would probably just give up, because there's so much syntax and verbosity that's going on. I don't know how you are so patient. You would have to virtually think of every line in your head, what it's saying, every syntax, because as one little wrong mistake and that line doesn't work. That's got to be a disaster. I mean, is that really difficult to do?
It takes me longer to do stuff. I will admit that. You know, stuff that I would have done, you know, just to look at a sheet of code on screen, you know, you can spot a mistake a mile off it if you've got eyes. But I have to cursor up and cursor down and then read it through and just basically sort it out that way. So it does take longer, but you can get around it if you're that way inclined.
Wow. You know, I admire you for taking the courage to stick in there and taking that patient time. You know, I've always wanted to go back and see how bad it would be for me to pick that back up. And because I understand if you are a native C user before, you're really right up the alley of that kind of coding. It'll be in your neighborhood.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of the things nowadays are written in C.
Mm-hmm.
All these other languages are written in C, then compiled down. Most things sort of derived from C. You don't get much lower than C on the tree.
And you were able to take... So what was your first app that you wrote then?
The first one I wrote on Android was Talking Stones, which is basically... Because my wife, you know, she's got an iPhone, and well, she's had an iPhone for quite some time, and she played something called Candy Crush.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there must be something out there for blind people, and you know, because I couldn't see a reason why they you couldn't make it accessible, but nobody did. So I thought, well, I'd write one, and so it's sitting on. I've still got the files somewhere around here. So one day I'll probably get it onto Apple, but it's fairly complex.
Did it make it into the Google Play Store?
Oh yeah. Well, it's recently been taken out of the Play Store for reasons that baffle me. I mean, Google are really shooting themselves in the foot at the moment because they're just coming up with all these different rules and regulations. My apps have been in and out of the App Store. You know, you tick a box, it will go back in. You untick another box, it will come back out. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I find iOS is much easier to code for. They sort of they do what the developers need and no more. Google seem to think, well, we'll do this and that and that and that and that. It doesn't make sense.
Okay.
It just makes it hard work.
Now, was that completely just for those that are blind, or did you have some low vision aspect to it?
Well, no, there's well, you know, it had colored tiles on it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have circles or big squares, and there was also options to put animations in it. You know, because I do try to not pitch my apps solely to a blind market or a VI blind market. I try and make them as appealing to everybody. Which is not easy when you can't see properly.
I think that shows, though, because you can. Yeah. There's a lot of color and you know things like that in your games. They're not lacking in that.
I sort of figure that you know, if people, you know, because not everyone's, you know, one blind person in a family, you know, so they're playing something and they might want to pass it on to someone else, and it might look a bit better to someone else. So I just try and make them as appealing to as many people as possible. You know, not only from a sort of coding point of view, but if someone else wants to buy it, it's more money for me.
Hmm. And did you have to, like, continuously go back to your wife and say, you know, how does this look? How's that color? Is this shape right? And is this position in the right place?
I can see, well, I sort of put my face right up against the screen to see that, you know, I can blow the screen up and all this sort of thing. Now, my wife is very famous for it. If I hand her an app, she will find a bug in it and crash it within the first couple of seconds and just hand it back. I don't tend to hand my apps over to my wife very often.
Yeah. You know, it would be me, like I put the button in a weird, obscure place that you wouldn't see that as a blind person. It's like, oh, that sounds like the perfect place. And, you know, I would think that somebody like, why did you put the button way over the, kind of in the center bottom right or something? I have always been really curious how somebody like yourself are able to virtually see things in your mind. So I imagine you're designing things in your mind virtually how it's going to see display-wise.
Well, yeah. You know, you sort of build a picture in your head. And plus, you know, the 10% vision I have got, well, 10-plus vision, does help a lot. I mean, if I was totally blind, it would slow it down an awful lot.
Oh, I imagine.
What I am at the moment.
Oh, imagine.
The design side of it.
Well, how long did that first app take you to create? from, say, from day one to the point where you were pretty happy with?
Talking Stones took about 6 months.
Wow.
And loading, well, I had to learn Java, basically, to do that, which is not the greatest language on earth, but it's all right for what it does.
And you did that part-time, like on your own free time at night?
I do that. Basically, that's what I do. I mean, I can't get a job for love nor money.
Mm-hmm.
No one will employ me, so, which is fair enough.
Well, your Super Tile Smash was indeed a big smash. I remember when that first came onto the site, that was one of the big ones you had out there. And I wonder, was that one the first one that it was on AppleVis that was under your name?
Well, I tried to get Apple to go under Woodside Apps, but they just won't have it, so I have to go under my own name. And, the Wallpaper Machine was the first one I put up there.
Hmm.
Okay.
Which isn't, I've recently revisited it, and it's, how to be polite, it's not very good. Yeah. I could do a whole lot better now. I sort of look at it now and think, ooh, that's really ropey. So I think I've taken it off. I don't know the App Store, but I'm going to take it off sooner or later because it's just real, it's not good.
And is Super Tile Smash, is that a kind of a cousin of Talking Stones? Because you mentioned kind of a bit
tile. Well, yeah, Super Tile Smash come off. I wrote Talking Stones, then I wrote Super Tile Smash on Android. And then I took that idea and put it onto iOS.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Super Tile Smash, I think that's still on Android, actually, Super Tile Smash. I don't follow it that much. You know, I've kind of forgotten about Google because it's such a pain to do anything on there. You know, you constantly got to update things for no apparent reason. You know, new rules come in every 5 to 10 minutes and you've got to apply with them or they take it off the app. Mm-hmm. It's just tiring. You know, you're sort of putting it back on the App Store for no one to download. So what's the point?
Yeah. Hmm. I got to say, I was properly addicted to Super Tile Smash when it came out.
Yeah, you know, I quite like it. You know, every now and again, I'll pick it up and, you know, lose about half an hour on it.
Yeah, it's one of those games.
Well, it was definitely one of those games that was unique and everybody was craving for back, you know, it was an absolutely fantastic, superb game. Gosh, that came out 2017, late of 2017, and because I remember, I believe that was one of the nominees for the Golden Apples Award for 2017.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of buzz about that game, obviously, of course, and rightfully so. Just like David, I was addicted to it, too. It was just a lot of fun. Really, it's not one of those, you know, you got one of these mindless games that, you know, you're just going with the action and you don't think about it. But this one, you really had to put your mind to it. And that's what made it very compelling and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, still glad that you like it, you know, because as I said, you know, still my wife, you know, she played Candy Crush for a while, not Candy Crush, but. Well, she's playing one at the moment called Merge Dragons or something, which is a similar sort of thing, but that's not accessible either. You know, so, I mean, I can't see why these things can't be made accessible. It's just the companies don't bother.
That's the great question, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, Apple, you know, they sort of make you jump through all these, you know, hoops, you know, to submit your app, but there's no standard for accessibility.
Hmm. That's interesting.
You know, because I have broken almost all the guidelines they put up there for the app review. I can't think what ones I've broken, but most of them. But there's not one for accessibility. There's no sort of base level at all.
You know, that would resolve just about every app out there if there were any kind of a low-level, base ground accessibility rules like buttons needs to be labeled this way and things like that. Now, I can understand some of the graphical games. You can't.
Well, yeah.
But on a low level, I would think that minimally, please have this accessible. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome, but I don't know how you would do that for like Unity-based games. Well, a lot of people are using these days, and I know there's accessibility extensions you can add to it. Obviously, we play them now, but not all Unity people are either aware of it or it's just not a requirement or a guideline. And I think it would make change things quite a bit.
So, or, you know, if you look at it the other way, or just have a tick box saying, is this app accessible, yes or no? Then you know, because I've downloaded ones off the App Store that sound like they should be accessible, but they're not. And you can't get a refund if you pay for it. So just a little tick box to say, this is accessible. So
I believe you can get a refund, though.
Oh, I've tried, and I can't.
Oh, really?
I've tried a couple of times. Perhaps it's the way I word it, I don't know. But.
Now, when you get rejection, are you getting rejections more out of, like, you know, I designed it this way because it's the playability or the functionality seemed to work better with VoiceOver or whatever, have not with, and do they, you ever find that they reject things because they don't quite understand what you're doing and it's just a non-substandard?
Well, some of it, I mean, they've rejected quite a few things because they think it's a bit, it comes under the design sort of protocol and guidelines they've got. You know, like all the graphics have got to be, which is fair enough, you know, it's got to be presentable.
That's amazing.
But I've not really come up against accessibility issues, you know, like, what's his name, Marty Schultz, who come up the blindfold games, where you could just get basically a blank screen. Well, Apple threw his stuff out for a while, and he had to argue like hell to get it back in, and thankfully he has.
I can't imagine, and yeah, it's just, it's interesting to hear from not just one developer but various developers, and when I start to hear these things from Marty and from you and from other people that have this issue, it really does sound like we need to come up with a plan to discuss with Apple about these issues and how we can put this put forward. That'd be something that we definitely have to work on. Now, after the Super Tile Smash that you came out with, what was it? Was it Word Finder?
Word Finder is the next one I remember.
Was that before?
Super Tile Smash, then Word Finder. Or was it Night Commander? No.
Word Finder, definitely before Night Commander.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because last year I started to write Night Commander. Was it last year? Year before, I don't know, I'm losing track. But anyway, I spent most of one year, either last year or the year before, whenever, writing Night Commander, and I kind of lost faith in it because it was a totally different app to start with. You know, like there was no game in it at all, and then I sort of put it to one side, then did Word Finder, and then I came back to it. I had some idea, but you know, Night Commander almost got binned actually, several times.
Really?
An incredibly complicated thing to do.
It's a very complex one, isn't it?
Yeah. You got back in the old days, it would have been called a live reporting ordering system or whatever you call it, because that's basically what it is. You know, you've got all these things, you know, each of component parts, and just because you put a game-like spin on it doesn't make it any less complex. It's a very hard app to keep together, really. That's why every time I publish an update, everyone has to delete the thing and reinstall it, which is really annoying, but not an awful lot I can do about that at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on it.
I think that's one thing that stands out about the games is that you do keep updating, and there's a lot of interaction on AppleViz.com with users and taking suggestions. You're really, really open to...
Know, it is a very good place for me because I would say 90 to 95% of my audience is in Appleviz. So from a purely commercial view, it's a very good place to be. Plus, the people are nice.
Yeah.
Even when they're bagging my app off, they're still nice.
Well, you got some good feedbacks, and you always get this criticism, and that's not a bad thing, but... as complicated as Night Commander, but you know, that was a big thing, though. That was a big deal game. I mean, a lot of people love that kind of game.
Yeah. You know, I sit there and I play it for a little while.
But
you know, there's a lot I want to do to that app, but it's just a question of getting, there's several routines in it, like the save routine and the load routine. I've got to rewrite from the ground up, basically, because I can't, you know, expecting people to restart over and over again. It's just too much to ask, really.
Yeah, I had, you know, I was going to ask you about that. I had wonder if you have done this game from scratch, or if you've taken some examples and samples out of other developer resources. So you did this from scratch.
Well, yeah.
Wow. And so you put down Knight Commander down, and you initially started that first, but you just decided it was just so complicated and you just didn't know what direction to go with it.
It was a totally different, it looked totally different. It played totally different. And it was going to be a totally different sort of app.
Oh, wow.
I sort of lost confidence in it, and then I brought it back, and then I tried to get it on the App Store, and Apple just kept on rejecting it, and I broke about 12 different rules in total somehow. So I learned an awful lot from it, and I've learned a lot since. So when I do go back to it full time, it should come out the other end a bit better. I like it. You know, it's quite clever.
You're the most patient man I know. I think I would be, I don't know. I know physical object would be flying in the air if I have written for months on end to say, reject, reject, reject. It's incredibly frustrating. Yeah. I admire you just that you had this idea and you tried and just kind of put that aside, went to Word Finder, and then you came back to Knight Commander, which, wow.
Because you write so much code, you know, you sort of invest so much time in it, and you want to play this game, and there's not one out there that is like it. Because my basic premise is, I write the games that I want to play. If I can't find what I want to play, I will write it. And if I want to play it, hopefully someone else will. So far it's proven all right.
So you write these games like the Super Tile Smash, Word Finder, and Knight Commander, for example. You did those because I wanted to play these kind of games. I couldn't find one. I'm just going to write one myself.
Well, yeah. I mean, and also that Minesweeper Deluxe thing.
Correct. I mean, which came out later.
I was going to say that's a bit of a throwback. it's fun.
Yeah. Because there is a accessible Minesweeper on the App Store. And I played that for a little while, but there's just one thing about it that really annoys me. So I thought, well, I'll do my own. So I did.
You know, that would be cool. I would love to just think this. You know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to just write my own stuff here. Here we go. That's fascinating because, there was an accessible Minesweeper many years ago, and it hasn't been touched or updated for eons. Yeah. But yours is different, though. First of all, made for low vision. You're able to scroll around, and that made it really compelling.
Well, yeah. You know, as I say, you know, I try and make them for blind types, VI types, and sighted types. It's not easy to get it all on one screen, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try and aim it for as wide an audience as possible.
Well, I tell you what, when that game came out, I was all ears. I was like, my eyes just went wide open. Minesweeper. And it's funny because, you know, some of the younger generation that are listening to this, I would mention, oh my gosh, there's Minesweeper. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, don't you remember Minesweeper back in the Windows days? You know, they're like, what's the old?
I'm not young, but I never played it. But I downloaded here when John and I got pretty addicted pretty fast. Because it makes you think, really.
I sort of sat there playing, you know, the previous version a lot. And then it just got me annoyed because the interface wasn't very fluid. You know, like you had to push buttons and push buttons just to get it going. And I thought, there must be a better way of doing this. So I did. So, and it came out all right. I was quite pleased with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you took out the whole starting stuff. I mean, as soon as you open up, it was ready to go.
Yeah.
And your grid was there. And what I liked about it is that from day one, you know, we will have to admit it was a little bit rough. But as soon as you got some feedbacks from AppleViz or people that emailed you, you have updated to the point where, wow, this was totally different than it was from day one, which was saying a lot about you sticking in there and getting that complication up for us to be able to enjoy it.
I sort of take the viewpoint, you know, if someone's going to be good enough to pay money for my stuff, then I've got a duty of care to that person. You know, if they're going to post a you know, say they want something and it's feasible doing, I'll do it. You know, because I do take it, you know, I take it as, you know, it's a nice thing, really. You know, mm-hmm. someone has bothered to, you know, put their hard-earned shekels into my pocket. Mm-hmm. So the least I can do is, you know, support them.
Yeah, no, definitely to support you. I will say the Night Commander, I have never, I don't know, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but I would say the generation as in responses back to comments and leaving feedback was probably one of the biggest hands down game of all of them when it comes to a number of participants replying back. I mean, we're talking
it's in the hundreds.
I was like, holy smokes.
And a lot of it is, why won't it work? Because every time I publish an update, you got to, you know, restart the thing, which is a flaw in the program, basically.
True, but I think it shows there's a lot of love for the, the game.
Yeah. I mean, I was staggered by some of the people, you know, because they'd say that they got sort of 20 million gold and, you know, hundreds of people. Well, not hundreds of people, because you only have 100 at the moment, anyway. You know, but they got loads of people and oodles of this and oodles of that. They must have been playing it for days and weeks. You know, it makes you think, you know, because I never expected people to get so far in the game as quickly as they did. So, you know, I was sort of writing it and thinking, well, they won't get there for at least a month or so. And 2 days later, they were there.
There was definite appetite for that kind of game, I think fair to say.
Yeah.
And is have you always just been interested in games, or have you ever
tried anything else? You know, games is, you know, I keep trying to think of things, you know, like tools or things that I need. But as yet, I haven't found one. That I can't find one. You know, I normally look on the App Store and find what I need. You know, I've yet to find something that I need to write.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know. I mean, you know, I can write most things if I need to. And probably, you know, apps would be a little bit easier than games, because you then take out the graphical, you know, and the interface problem. So,
yeah. Thomas, any requests?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there's so many games I had back in the day that were so visually fun. I've always missed some of the games. You guys ever remember back in the days there was a game called Scorched Earth? And all it is, it's just on the one screen. There could be two up to eight people on one screen, and you get a random landscape, and then your little base gets placed somewhere on the landscape. And so you're just this little itty bitty blot, and just think of yourself a little tank, and you can't move, but you can move your turret, or I should say your guns up and down. So you have to find the right angle, and then you just lobby little volleys of burst to another player. So you just shoot this bombshell and you try to hit the other player. So it's a turn by turn, and of course you got wind, this and gravity, and
I get you.
And I was like, oh my god, I was so loved that as a blind. And I think you could, I mean, I you think about it, it's like I shoot, it'll tell me what my velocity is and how what angle my turn is. And then when I shoot, they'll just say you overshot by 300 yards, or you undershot by 200 on player two. I mean, I think you could do it. There'll be a lot of calculation involved, but I couldn't see why you couldn't do it. But that is one of my biggest ones I've always wanted to have and miss a lot.
Well, at the moment, it's kind of spooky.
Yes.
I'm sort of like, you know, I have to write at least three or four things at a time. Otherwise, I get sort of fixated on one thing at a time. One of them is a dice fighter type RPG thing at the moment. That's the top thing at the moment. But one of them is called Tank Battle, and that's almost exactly what you've said. I don't know if it's ever going to see the light of day, but it's there's a file on the computer. So you never know, it could be coming out.
That would be fantastic. I would be first in line. I would pay top bucks for it, too. No, I think what you've done is incredibly awesome. And now I have to ask a hard question. Now, do you find one game one of your most favorite than the others? more rewarding?
Well, the one I normally play is Word Find.
Oh, wow.
Because it's mind-numbingly hard.
It is.
You know, like, you'll never get... I mean, I you know, it's the one bugbear that people have got with the thing, is that it's so hard. Mm-hmm. But I've looked through the dictionary, and it's a official Scrabble dictionary. There are words in there that you would never use, but they are valid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it says, you know, 2,000 words, there are 2,000 words.
And you've got 50, and you think you've done well. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, my wife played it, you know, and she gets 700 words.
Wow.
And you think, wow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's just something that you can just sit there and just while away a bit of time. I don't tend to play an awful lot of them because I'm normally bug testing my current one, as it were.
Mm.
You know, like I'll do 5 or 6 hours a day, or 5 hours a day, or 4 hours, whatever. And then the rest of the time I'll sit there and play it and see where the bugs are and see what I've got to do to it next.
Mm.
But I do go back to Night Commander, and I mean, they're all sitting on the iPad now. So.
Of course.
So, yeah, pick them up and play them.
Well, you know, John, one of the things I'm wondering, and I'm sure a lot of us are, that you got some absolutely awesome games under your belt now. I'm sure that you're probably it's probably getting a little easier to do since now you got some of these things done and over with. But you said, you know, you said that you have like so many projects open at once. I am curious, what can we expect in the near future? Anything that you can talk about or want to talk about?
The current top one at the moment, you know, because I tend to do about 4 or 5 of them. It stops me fixating on the actual code base, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise I don't sleep very well. Because if you get, you know, you sort of get the code in your head, you go over it and over it. But if you've got 4 or 5 of them, you can't do that. But at the moment, anyway, the top one is Dice Fighter. You know, it's a sort of, it's a cross between Dungeons and Dragons, you know, with dice. You know, you throw dice and you get 6 attack dice and defend and spells and armor and all this, and you can put money in the bank. And the other part of it is that you sort of move your little icon around a map, you know, that's got bridges and water and keys and things come along and attack you.
Mm. Oh,
it's
wow.
A bit of a mix at the moment, and it's going to be a hard sell, but it's going to be another complicated one, I'm afraid.
Oh, I can imagine. So you're talking about like, you know, please forgive me, I always think old games. You ever heard of Ultima?
Ultima
was kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons game where you had a map and you're character and you just start moving around. Like, there's no really like objective or anything. You just go, and if you find different places, like, oh, here's a mountain, so let's go up here, and then that would be like its own little area of games that you can play that's within the mountains area, or there'll be one by the river that you can do, fight different things, and as you're fighting things, you're increasing levels and things like that.
It's similar to that sort of thing. I'm quite old. I mean, I can go right back to I don't know if this will ring a bell with Dave, the ZX Spectrum days.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Spectrum, yeah.
Do you remember things called Ultimate Play the Game, the company? And they used Saber Wolf and Alienate and all that sort of thing. Where you sort of run around this sort of art. Well, it was isometric viewpoint.
Okay.
You sort of run around and these little things come around and after you. And it's similar to that sort of thing. It's very crude at the moment. And it's probably going to stay crude for quite some time. Because there's an awful lot in it. That's the main one, which is going to take a while. So I can see that being shelved and picked up again later. But as you mentioned, Tank Battle, that one, I was going to do it where you sort of tilt your device. That's what I was saying. You know, you can sort of, tilt the device for the elevation of your gun.
Yeah.
Tap the screen and then the power, you tilt it and tap it and boom, you go shoot people.
Yep.
That sort of thing. I mean, that in theory should be quite simple. It never comes out in practice, but it sounds...
Well, that's exactly what that's, you know, that's exactly what the game I have been waiting for forever and ever. I mean, you would, yeah. I'm surprised that in a way it was surprising that you would go back to another game that would be as complicated and gut-wrenching yeah. was to make Knight Commander, to do this yeah. one. And
well, that's kind of what I did Word Finder and Minesweeper.
Yes.
So it's, you know, a gap in between them. But I can see this one being a headache as well. So
that was Thomas trying to talk you into doing Tank Battle first.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah. So I see Tank Battle coming out first. It's kind of a, uh-huh. you know, just kind of a come down to earth a little bit, just in between the complicated uh-huh. games, and then you can go back and work on the other one.
If you want to pay top dollar.
Oh my gosh! Now, you work part time now?
No, not at all.
Not at all. So you do this full time,
and so
all the money that you raise will help you.
This is what I my income from.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, bank title will probably have to come last.
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's sounds fun. I mean, no,
it could be made possible, you know, to make it provisional as well, quite easily. Yeah, so this is why I don't understand these other firms. I mean, I try and download one app per day off the App Store that I think, from the description or whatever, could be accessible. And you very rarely get past the title screen before you realise it's not. You know, they're just not accessible, even to the point where you know, the button to start the thing is accessible.
Mm. Games especially are just... Yeah. It's very difficult to find accessible games.
But I don't make a living out of this at all. I mean, it supplements my income, as I say. I mean,
yeah.
In the UK, I'm very lucky where we live because we got the welfare state at the moment, anyway. Sure. And I get benefits basically.
Right. So you obviously you just love doing this. That's the why these come out. It's supplemental. Any additional money coming out of it is gravy, but yeah. it's very helpful. But I enjoy, so you have a passion. I've absolutely want to do this.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's either that or you sit there and you watch daytime telly, which will drive you nuts. I think a couple of bucks is fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to put in, sort of get someone on board to do graphics or sound or something, then perhaps I'd go to a fiver. Yeah. But, I've seen apps on there that you think, no, I'm not paying that. I don't care how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, though, when you think, like, Minesweeper, I think, was 99 cents, and the amount of time you can get, you know, of enjoyment out of that for one euro, in my case, is
very cheap.
It's fantastic value, like.
Yeah, it's nominal. It's very nominal. I believe the Super Smash Tile is to $1.99 US dollars, and I believe your Knight Commander is $4.99 US dollars, and all three are perfectly priced for what you are getting out of the game. You ever feel like sometimes you ever get a lot of criticism and feedback that is just so hatred that you just like almost just want to hang up your shoes and say, you know what, I'm not going to make any more games for you? Do you ever get that?
There have been times when you sort of stare at the screen and you have to stop yourself from replying, basically. Because what you put down wouldn't be very, shall we say, beneficial to the business. Because you'd have to, it wouldn't be very polite, basically. You think, really? You really think that bit, Lonnie?
Tell us how you really feel, John.
I couldn't do that because we'd get taken off the air.
You know, it frustrates me to death when I see developers like yourself or anyone else that criticism and feedback is one thing, but there's a red line when you're getting absurdly rude or asking way too much or asking for something that's impossible or I financially or budgetly I can't do that or a lot of various reasons, but they just will just hang on you like they were a tick. And it's just, oh my gosh. I feel your pain. But more for your games, I have seen way more positive things.
Well, I mean, some of the people, you know, they are really, really nice. You know, you just go that extra mile for those people. But, you know, and as you say, most of them are, you know, very, very
absolutely,
nice.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and all feedback is welcome, but some is more welcome than others, shall we say.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that just about wraps it up here. I'd like to say huge thanks to you, John, for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Right, fine, yeah, thanks.
We're looking forward to your future games, no doubt. Yes.
Whatever they are, John, we're looking forward to them.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Dallas. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.